Silk Skidmark 5 with the new equipment here at Free Radio Santa Cruz
on May 27th edition of Bathroom Spears Broad Sides. And on my sides broad, I can tell you, this is 2 hours coming your way of fun, games, and the usual homeless civil rights. We're going to be reviewing some unplayed tape of the Saturday Womp on the Demonstrators Brigade activity led by Officer David Lefebvre. We're going to be hopefully having in the studio with us Riot Act Rotkin, the sleeping band maestro. Unfortunately, he was due here for 2 hours, but he won't be coming in because he has, and this is true, a city council meeting on Thursday. Well, I guess it happens that way with our new city council, so eager to parcel off the beach boardwalk, it just has to hold extra sessions. I should say to parcel off the housing in the beach flats area for the benefit of those who have the money, and that would be Charlie Canfield. Stay tuned. Stay with us. Bathroom Spears Broadsides. It's me all alone in the studio for the moment, but soon we're going to be joined by a couple of fine guests. Lou Rice. Frankly, I would say he has more spiritual force in this situation than Michael Rotkin or Chris Krohn any day. Lou is the man who sat in at the post office, or withered away at the post office. He fasted for 27 days trying to get some changes at the Homeless Services Center, finally got some promises from the new executive director, Ken Cole, and not much action. A lot of that is because Cole is stuck with a board that doesn't want to act, and some of it has to do with all those bureaucratic foul-ups and how really difficult it is to put in a drinking fountain. Apparently that's a major undertaking. 2.5 weeks later, they still ain't got no drinking fountain out there at the Homeless Services Center. But rumor has it the food has improved. And we're going to talk to Lou about that issue soon, and also about other issues at the River Street Shelter. Lou had an interesting dialogue today with President of the Board of Directors of the Homeless Services Center, Donna Murillo. Sort of a hobby horse, a fashion model for our time, one of the primo downtown merchants who stack, control, and unfortunately deform the board of the Homeless Services Center. There was an interesting meeting out at the Homeless Services Center today. There was a co-producer there. There was a meeting of the three police officers, two police sergeants, Sergeant Sticky Fingers Butchie Baker, Sergeant Kicker Steve Clark, so-called.
Ass Kicker.
That's Skidmark Bob's analysis, calls him Ass Kicker. I have actually gotten reports of him kicking homeless people. Admittedly, that was 11 years ago, or 10, when he was merely an officer and not a sergeant. But Clark actually got a recent special commendation for harassment of Anthony Douglas 3 weeks ago in an incident I played on the air, in which he told Douglas that if he caught him panhandling, he didn't want him panhandling anymore in the mall. He was to leave the mall and no longer panhandle. It's like, am I walking up to a complete stranger and directing him to, I don't know, stop reading the book he's reading and get out of there? That's just, you know, and doing so with a badge and a gun on my hip. So Clark is... cuts a mean figure on the mall, and perhaps a little bit too mean a figure on the mall. And we were hoping maybe he can be transferred to, I don't know, the inner city somewhere. We can get some really hands-on experience with those problems, and maybe learn from, well, what the officer who reamed Officer the man in New York City, Abner Louima. That officer recently had something of a conversion. I believe he cried in court. Of course, he never apologized for what he did, but his attorney explained that his guilty plea meant he was really sorry to ram a nightstick up a man's ass and then force it down his mouth repeatedly. This is the kind of NYPD stuff that, apparently... We're going to be watching this unfold in a trial in New York City. Here in Santa Cruz, as I said, we had a Homeless Services Center meeting today with three police officials, two of them sergeants, one of them an officer, reassuring and educating the homeless community about all their options in the troll-busting situation. That is to say, the situation where, as many of you know, homeless people are getting regularly beaten up, kicked, sent to the hospital, I would add, and... The Homeless Services Center Board of Directors and the Mayor of Santa Cruz and the City Council and indeed the Police Department is doing next to nothing. No arrests have been made. There are suspects, of course, but they're not doing anything in terms of seeking out, dealing with the broader problem, which is, of course, finding a safe sleeping area for people who are being regularly turned away from the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, the only emergency shelter program we have here in Santa Cruz in the summer, which provides a generous 28 floor spaces for 500 to 1,500 homeless people at night. The rest of them, thanks to the Fitzmaurice Byers sleeping ban, are illegal every night and must face $54 fines and, of course, the excitement of dealing with troll busters because they can't sleep in safe numbers in groups lest they be themselves be found and ticketed. Now, we heard from the sergeants at the Homeless Services Center today that, boy, this is stuff I really should discuss with Lou Rice in the studio. Lou is outside. I'm inside, so he can give us some really pertinent observations. So perhaps I will save this for a later place in the show. A lot of the shows that I've been doing in the last few weeks have been kind of devoted to large sections of them, the war, the U.S. war on the Yugoslavian people. We have to say that because they are now dropping gravity bombs, cluster bombs, in increasing numbers in order to save money, because it's cheaper to do it that way, and presumably to because they've kind of gotten over the PR hump. They don't have to worry. I mean, they've already bombed the Chinese embassy. They've taken out part of a hospital. They've gotten a prison. They even bombed the Albanian KLA camp. That's their allies. So they can't really do anything else. So hey, why not just start dropping the bombs from the B-52s? I mean, when you've gotten that far, what's the worry? You know, I mean, you've already kind of arrayed it all before the American people, the parade of horribles. The American people yawned and went back to the TV screen. So let's just start bombing them regularly day and night. And indeed, every day's bombing for the last 3 days has been more intense than the day before. And the Senate voted, I guess it was yesterday, 78-12, is that right? 76-12, I think it was. I think a couple weren't voting, to continue the air war and actually even to support, I guess it's not to oppose a ground war. I got to get that wording exactly right, and I don't quite know what it is. It's not in front of me right now. But that That's our Senate for you. And of course, Representative Sam Farr, the U.S. congressional representative here in the Santa Cruz area, who supposedly needs Santa Cruz, and we're told by some great liberals that Santa Cruz needs Sam Farr. That one, of course, is really hard for a lot of us to swallow. Farr tells us that, and we hear in the good times, that he wants a three-day pause in the bombing, you see, and to give Milosevic a chance to withdraw all those troops from that part of Yugoslavia that is Kosovo. And if he doesn't do it, well, then they can start bombing the hell out of him again and presumably do the ground war. And, of course, that's exactly what's going to happen. Milosevic may withdraw some troops, but he's not going to withdraw all troops. And they're going to have a ground war. And they're going to have a ground war that produces far greater devastation than the previous ethnic cleansing, the fabled Serbian attacks on Albanians, which are real. You know, the Serbians, I am persuaded, did move in and remove Albanian autonomy, did fire Albanian professors from universities, and Albanians also withdrew in protest, have engaged in atrocities against the Albanian people. But if you look at today's paper and the fact that you might notice that Milosevic has been indicted for war crimes at The Hague, notice how he's accused of creating, like, I don't know, 750,000 Albanian refugees, ethnic Albanian refugees, but how many is he accused of killing? 340 Albanian people. You know, that's probably more people, that's probably less people than the U.S. NATO forces have killed in terms of simply mistaken civilian bombings in the last, 2 months of bombing. 2 months. Remember those words, magic number, 2 months. 2 months, that's 60 days. That's supposed to be what activates the War Powers Act, where the president is not supposed to be engaging in massive, aggressive warfare without the permission of the Congress, without the assent of the Congress. Now, it looks like that support our boys mentality is moving ahead with such force that he may get it anyway. But at least in the House, there was quite a stall and a pause a couple weeks ago with the 213-213 vote. So, all of which is fine, but it's also nice to hear a little bit of music, and I think here's a song that's particularly appropriate for all of us Americans at this point.
Touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango. Let our love be a flame, not an ember. Say it's me that you want to dismember. Blacken my eye, set fire to my tie as we dance to the masochism tango. At your command, before you here I stand, my heart is in my hand. Ugh, it's here that I must be. My heart entreats, just hear those savage beats, and go put on your cleats, and come and trample me. Your heart is hard as stone or mahogany. That's why I'm in such exquisite agony. My soul is on fire, it's aflame with desire, which is why I perspire when we tango. You caught my nose in your left castanet, love. I can feel the pain yet, love. Every time I hear drums, and I envy the rose that you held in your teeth, love, with the thorns underneath, love, sticking into your gums. Your eyes eyes cast a spell that bewitches. The last time I needed 20 stitches to sew up the gash you made with your lash as we danced to the masochism tango. Bash in my brain and make me scream with pain, then kick me once again and say we'll never part. I know too well I'm underneath your spell, so darling, if you smell something burning, it's my heart. Excuse me. Take your cigarette from its holder and burn your initials in my shoulder. Fracture my spine and swear that you're mine as we dance to the masochism tango. And we were married.
And that, of course, was Tom Lehrer in the CD update on some of his old tunes and chanties of the 50s and 60s. That was the Masochism Tango. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your sadistic host, Uncle Robert Norris, and this is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I don't have my bathrobe on at the moment, but I can assure you I have a broadside. Phone number to call in if you wish to share in the merriment is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We had originally planned to have Michael Rotkin here for a two-hour extravaganza on the sleeping band. Last night, Michael called up and apologized, saying that he had a city council meeting that was suddenly scheduled for tonight, and he couldn't come, at least he couldn't come for the full 2 hours. He promises to call us at 7 o'clock and let us know just how much of the time he can come. So we're going to hopefully have a little bit of Rotkin. And then 2 weeks down the road, I guess that's going to be, looks like June, is it the 14th? I wish I could read the small letters on the calendar. No, that's the May calendar. Anyway, it's 2 weeks from tonight. Rotkin will, in fact, assuming something else doesn't interfere, this is the second time he's postponed, be on the air. But Councilmember Rotkin, much as I disagree with him, and much as I feel I would like to retire him to private life, lickety-split, nonetheless, he is generally a man of his word around these broadcasts, and he has kept his word in the past, and indeed has been on the air. He was on the air, I guess, twice in the last 4 or 5 months, and we're hoping to have him on again, and we will. Christopher Crone also committed himself to coming on tonight, but is in ill health, and he's also, again, on the city council, and so he's probably going to be either in bed or worse on the city council up on the dais. Actually, that's not quite kind and not quite accurate, much as I lambaste Christopher Crone and continue to feel he's been sadly lacking on around the sleeping band and other homeless rights issues, and particularly police misconduct around the stuff that happened last weekend to Steve Argue, who's still in jail. Boy, there's a whole story. I mean, you know, he is, I think he's more concerned that we rattled the windows of Sam Farr's feast and benefit while the bombs were falling than that the police turned a noisy but peaceful demonstration into, I don't want to call it a bloodbath, that's a little intense, but certainly a bludgeon fest, because that's what the police were doing with Steve Argue, and a paddy wagon full of people guilty of nothing more than simply asserting their right to engage in vital peaceful protest. And that message, I hope, and I'm persuaded, is getting out across our community. Last night, Talk About on KZSC had a bunch of us on the air talking about the issue. There was a kind of a festival at the Student Center, Pizza Junction area on campus yesterday, done by Stage Left, that was quite successful. We played the video. Becky Johnson, video journalist, did a video of the, well, snatches of a video of the Saturday incident, where, well, the whole series of incidents, the whole protest. And Steve Argue, of course, is still in jail on $20,000 bail, in spite of the fact that pretrial release services certified him ready to be released, no flight risk, responsible person, not a danger to the community. Judge Artichoke Heart Attic, Robert Attic, said, no way, you stay in jail, $20,000, go raise it, you know, and try and defend yourself in jail while against a charge of felony, a battery on a police officer. Have you ever tried to defend yourself while you're in jail? I can tell you it's really hard to investigate, talk to the witnesses and so forth, particularly when you're in 23-hour lockup, which is another thing that Steve Argue is suffering now. Steve Argue, of course, is the man who was jailed 6 months ago for having the temerity to sell a street newspaper, the newspaper Street Spirit, outside New Leaf Market. He was approached by Officer Grim Grip Garner, as I call him in my own publication, and told to desist. Where's his license? He said, I don't need a license to sell a street newspaper. You know, go check your municipal code. Garner just didn't like that approach and so demanded he stop. He said, I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to sign any ticket. Argue was then essentially seized by Garner, thrown to the ground brutally. He was, his face was cut. He was then handcuffed, taken to jail, charged with two bogus charges, one of them a felony, I believe it was assault on a police officer. The second was resisting arrest, of course, that perennial police favorite here in Santa Cruz. And the original charge, which Garner admitted to me several hours later when I tape recorded him, which was selling a paper inappropriately or selling a street paper without a license, disappeared. Of course, it disappeared because there is no such code section properly applied. Newspapers, Garner should have known, are an exception to that code. And indeed, that was made clear by his very own chief, Steve Belcher, our head of our own police force, who acknowledged a similar mistake had been made by Officer Eveleth and Officer Headley when they went after Anthony Douglas about 8 months ago in September in front of the Del Mar, Cinema 9 Theater. Anyway, so Steve Argue was not much beloved by the police department for filing a lawsuit against the police department, actually filing a claim preparatory to a lawsuit, and I believe he's being represented in that matter by Kate Wells, local attorney. So this time it looks like the police determined that they're going to keep him for a while, and the jail feels the same way. Actually, the jail is going to keep him for a while. The police are, I guess, the people who brought him in. We actually spoke with Steve Argue this afternoon, and we haven't yet been able to edit the tape, which includes some stuff that I don't think he would want broadcast. Steve gets out 1 hour per day to be able to talk to people on the phone. The rest of the time he's locked down in the small cell, all alone, by himself, in jail, unable to really contribute to his defense. And so those of us who are outside are trying to help out by raising money, and that has to be like $2,000. Or hopefully someone can find $20,000, which another person is willing to offer his house, to put up his house if someone wants to do a $20,000 loan. He has equity for $30,000. Anyway, we have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Robert, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
We have the $2,000.
No way.
We need Bernard. We've been looking for Bernard since 2 o'clock, and it's a really easy, just fax some information, the bond's ready. We just cannot find Bernard.
Wow.
So I'm putting this out there, Bernard, if you're listening, please call us, because we can have Steve out in 2 hours.
Amazing. Good work, Tracy.
So, yeah, it's me and a couple other people, and, you know, we need Bernard. We need just him to just sign his name on a line, and we're ready to go.
Well, Bernard, if you're listening to my show, and I know you are a faithful listener, give a quick call to, you want to give your number out over the air, Tracy?
I don't mind. It's 421-9794, and then they've got the bond ready, and everything's set. We're just waiting for you, Bernard.
Well, take that man to the radio station immediately when he gets out. We want to slap him around.
We will. We're going to take him out for a beer first.
Oh,
gonna,
typical.
Then we'll bring him to come see you.
SCPD, take note. He is an adult, and he's able to drink beer without being arrested.
All right, Robert. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you, Tracy.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
You might give a call to the Huff line, by the way, in case you want more information on where Bernard might be.
Oh, okay.
423 Huff.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, imagine that. Good news for once. $2,000. I guess I'll go get arrested now. Let's see if I get bailed out. Boy. Huh. Well, that's impressive. Actually, I know that the The committee to free Steve Argue had raised like $300 yesterday, but they must have been working fast. Who knows what they're doing? Probably selling arms to the Albanians or something. It's not clear, but it certainly is good news. And what that means is that you all out there have no excuse for not showing up at the next Stop the Bombing demonstration, which is going to be 2 o'clock tomorrow at UCSC campus. UCSC is playing host to that politician among politicians, Representative Bombs Not Food, Sam Farr. You know him. He is actually going to appear on campus and try to explain how it's appropriate to spend $13 billion, especially on Yugoslavia, only $1 billion of which goes to refugees. The other 12, you know, those necessary cluster bombs, 5% of which apparently are apparent duds, fall to earth unexploded and become sort of special surprise packages for young Yugoslavians to find later. Cluster bombs, of course, emit jagged shrapnel, which produces injuries that often do not kill, but simply wound, deform, and maim for life. And that's what old Farr was doing in the Congress in the last couple of months under the pretext of human rights and stopping ethnic cleansing and supporting the chief and bolstering our troops and all that sort of thing. So I think we should go up to campus and ask the representative some really clear, hard questions. And actually, I may even have a set of those questions with me. I'm hoping that we can distribute them at the gates to Stevenson. Stevenson Dining Hall, that is, up on UCSC campus tomorrow at 2. I encourage people to show up a little early, 1:45, to kind of make signs and banners and, hey, have a costume if you wanted. I suggested last time and that people dress up as a particular item, like a dress up like a cluster bomb, maybe just have a mask on and a sign that says cluster bomb. A mask sometimes can kind of present a kind of an alien aspect to you, even if it's a silly mask. It separates you from your usual identity, and then people say, what is that? And you say, this is what I am, and you hand them a flyer. I'm a cluster bomb, and this is what we're doing here. And it, in essence, draws attention to the issue, which is what is the United States doing bombing a country the size of Tennessee, bombing a region the size of Connecticut, or perhaps Rhode Island, somewhere between the two, in the midst of a civil war between an admittedly repressive central government, but probably not a lot more repressive than most of those other governments in that area, certainly not any more less repressive than the Turks, a member of NATO that's been engaged in somewhat systematic, if you want to call it ethnic cleansing, you can call it selective ethnic elimination of some of those Kurds, political elimination of Kurdish independence fighters in Turkey. Why is the U.S. doing this? So I know at the last rally we had Lydia dressed up as a cluster bomb, and she had a kind of a black veil on, and she had a little sign that said, I'm a cluster bomb. And I thought it was great, of course it was my idea, naturally I think it was great, but I thought it was great for a number of reasons, because you know, it attracts the visual attention of people walking by. They say, what is this? And you explain. And then you hand them a piece of literature. So that's the second part of it. You have to have a piece of literature about the issue, whether it's cluster bombing, whether it's the bombing of civilians, whether it's the fact that U.S. Pressures essentially created the separations in Yugoslavia that are now being blamed on age-old hatreds. That's the new phrase, you know, the age-old hatreds that produced the dissolution of Yugoslavia. Well, certainly some of those, you know, there are age-old hatreds everywhere, but we have to look at who's producing the age-old poverty and that produces the tensions that result in the countries blowing apart, and then the richest part of the country is Slovenia, running off to pal it up with Germany, with German arms and money, and then, of course, the poorest part of Yugoslavia, which is Kosovo, with its Albanian majority, left alone in, you know, this in the next to the poorest part of Albania, Serbia. Who benefits from all this dislocation in Yugoslavia? That's what I ask. And I would suggest to you it has to do with those who want to have the use of the Danube to move oil from the Caspian and Black Sea. I would suggest to you that you would have to do with those who want to use Yugoslavian skilled labor. I would suggest to you that there are people who want a so-called free market economy that destroys the social network there, that destroys the social services economy, that eliminates all vestiges of the even rudimentary socialism that they had there, and that wants to have, you know, the big firms go in and sell hamburgers to the people, and or sell whatever else they want, and to hell with the welfare of the people. I mean, this has been done in country after country with the dissolution of the USSR. You know, they got some political freedom, good. But of course, what they got instead was also, in addition to that, was misery and economic devastation because of the destruction of the safety net. But speaking about the safety net, I'd like to introduce the new seamstress of the safety net, Lou Rice, who has picked up a knitting needle, who has been doing some pretty fancy sewing out there at the Homeless Services Center as he attempts to put together some things. You may remember Lulu is the guy who was in front of the post office for, I don't know, at least 3 weeks, and he was fasting for longer than that. And Lou, say a few words into the mic. Let's see if we actually have you there. Can you pick up the mic and see what we got?
I'm here. Are you there?
Louder and closer.
I said, I'm here. Are you there?
That's even better, man.
Okay.
All right, yeah, keep that Lou Rice timbre going, because I think that the one that Donna Murillo likes so much.
I don't think she likes much about me or my, what you call it, camera.
Tombra, the bell.
But that's okay, you know. Everybody's entitled to their likes and dislikes. And I am, too.
Yes, you are. That is true enough. Well, Lou, I guess the last that I mentioned you on the show, I played a tape that you and I made, I guess it was the day of the Art and Wine Festival, you may remember.
Yeah,
and you were still kind of recovering from your fast, I think.
Yeah, I still am kind of recovering. Uh-huh. The recovery has been more difficult than the fast itself. Maybe the preparation was the things that I had to address within myself were more than the recovery, but the recovery has been physically rough.
I hear that. Let me defer to our listeners and see who we got calling in here.
Sure.
You're on free radio.
Oh, I don't want to be on air.
Oh dear. Okay, well, call the Huff line.
Well, bring the mic.
Wait, we're being told that we're over-modulating here. All right, now, Lou, say something into your mic.
Hello? Hello?
Keep talking.
Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Are we over-modulating? How are we doing? Okay, so... Well, Lou, it goes overboard a lot, I know. No going to the red. Thank you. That's our technical führer, Uncle Bob. Thank you, Uncle Bob. So, stay out of the red. That's what we say to all those East European countries. And also, actually, we say that to the West European countries, too, because, you know, a lot of people are going bankrupt. But double entendres aside, what's happening? Is it a matter of money out at the Homeless Services Center, as Donna Murillo is I kind of ran to you guys were discussing a subject, and I didn't seem to be talking about much of... You had 7 points, 7 concerns.
Yes, I did, and yeah. I still do. The 7 points that I were not a strike or demands. They were wishes and hopes that I thought needed to be fulfilled there, and I thought very, very cost effective.
And we're talking things like a drinking fountain, edible and adequate food, cleanliness and sanitary food preparation, more places for people to sleep, respectful treatment of people.
Yes.
And I guess Donna sort of, did she brush off things that pretty much by saying, oh, we don't have enough money, or it's a money question? Or?
Well, I think that she was looking for it to be funded adequately. And she made the statement that they could, do more if they had more funds. Well, the only thing that I know was expensive, and it's more expensive than what I thought it would have been, but is the drinking fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told them all it had to be was a faucet where people could use a cup and get a drink of water, you know.
Well, they do have these, not drinking fountain, but they have some containers of water that they fill up or something.
They have a 10-gallon igloo water container that is adequate to get drinking water out of if you can find a container to use to get it out of.
Mm-hmm.
And it works quite appropriately when it's full, but it leaks. And so sometimes it don't have any in it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's no effort made to fill it. The other day was Sunday. And I know from 7 o'clock in the morning till at least 3 in the afternoon, there was nothing in it. There was no water in it.
Well, maybe they were trying to help people take a Gandhian view, you know, less water, more spirituality.
I don't believe that. I think it's just somebody that had the responsibility in their occupation, their job, just did not fulfill their obligation. They're probably too busy playing chess, you know.
Chess is a very time-consuming game.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the other concerns you had? Have there been... I haven't heard of any expansions in shelter space. We heard some complaints today at the Homeless Services Center meeting about how people are being treated in terms of respect, but what have there been improvements?
I think the men's group has improved on far as how many people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not by much, maybe 6 to 10 people. One reason they are using the Buffalo instead of the van.
A larger vehicle?
Yes, it's called the Buffalo. It's a white.
This is to get
it's a white small transit bus. Is
to
what
get
it
people
is.
To the floor.
Yes,
churches.
To get them to the churches where they can sleep. Now that's an improvement, but you know it's basically in some. Churches, there's not enough room inside for the people to actually be inside, sheltered inside, so they have to sleep outside on the walkways or on the patios or whatever. And that's good in the sense that they ain't going to get beat up or troll busted, whatever you call it.
Or less likely.
Or you know, ticketed for sleeping out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cold. So the last
cold.
Night, I went on 3 of them after I got off the fast. I was invited by Ken Cole, if I wanted to go on the men's group.
Ken Cole is the head of the
Yes, he's the new executive
center.
Director. He's the one mm-hmm. that came down and between my discussion and his sincerity, he told me what he would do as far as addressing these issues, and I think he's a honest man,
mm-hmm.
an honorable man. And I told him, I said, you know, you might renege on your word to me, but I don't think you can renege on your word to yourself. And he said that is far more important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that the man's got some character.
Well, we have a situation, you know, I continue to repeat this, but I really think it's so outrageous. You have a church program that serves, unless you say it's expanded by 6 or 8 men.
6 to 10. I might not be wrong about that, but it was 14.
It did have 28 floor spaces total for men, women, and, you know, anybody for the summer, and that's for 500 to 1,500 homeless people, which is, you know, like less than 5%. And I'm just, you know, I'm glad. I mean, any improvement, particularly when you have people going around beating people up,
yes,
is an improvement, no question.
Yes.
But, you know, you saw this meeting today that we had, where we had the police officers and I guess three board members of the Homeless Services Center, the executive director, Ken Cole, and about 20 homeless clients and some news media people in there talking about the... I regard it as an epidemic of violence against the homeless, a series of targeted hate crimes on homeless people. And I frankly, it looked like a major PR effort by the police department to, you know, say it's doing its job. What do you think?
Well, any effort or any fact-finding mission or any public expression, pro or con, is good.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
All right. Now, as far as...
I think I agree.
...is being specific about
sure
the... well, I know it's good. Because
I mean, the reason I hesitate...
Because I say that is...
the reason I
without that public expression, nobody knows exactly what's going on.
Sure, but the reason I hesitate to say it's good, Lou, is two things. First of all, I sat through scores of hours, dozens of hours of testimony to the city council's task force to end the sleeping ban, or actually to examine the camping ordinance. I saw these guys talk and talk and listen and listen and talk and talk and listen and listen and then do absolutely nothing. I mean, they lowered the fine. Okay, they lowered it to $54. Today, I think Ken Cole is a very sincere man. I think not only is he sincere, he's trying to find a way to essentially start building up pressure to get a real public response to, A, educate the community so these hate crimes are not only, you know, they aren't tolerated. So if you see someone driving around with, you know, with a Trollbuster t-shirt and in a skinhead looking like he's about to jump out and jump a homeless person, the people in the community will get involved and say, oh, I saw that guy, that kind of stuff on TV. That's not good. I saw that in the newspaper. We don't want that to happen. I mean, making people aware of it is a good thing. We've seen two stories in the Sentinel in the last week, although the stories themselves, I think, were, you know, very inadequate. They were the beginning of a process. So that I liked. And I liked the fact that the community, some of the community of homeless people came together. But, of course, the problem is that it was all done, not the problem with, I mean, there's a process that has to happen here. I mean, we have to see that the police, if you'll forgive me for saying it, are full of shit in this matter, before we realize how we can use the right toilet paper, get the right plumber, and start dealing with the situation. My concern is that there's going to be some more beatings and more violence while we're all sitting around working through this process, instead of actually marching down to City Hall, pulling out our sleeping bags, or going into the police station itself, and putting our sleeping bags down and saying, well, you know, we can't, there's no room in the shelter, so we're here. You know, you or find more shelter or arrest us, and we'll deal with whatever it comes in that regard. We didn't do that. Instead, we heard the police officers say things like, well, only two cases have crossed my desk. And I know that you raised a third case that Sergeant Clark apparently either didn't remember or hadn't heard of. I raised a fourth case, Larry Cessna, that everybody had heard of. And we all know that there's at least a dozen other cases that people don't want to report because they have no confidence that police are going to do anything.
Well, that's true, Robert, but here's the deal, too. You know, he's talking about, in a sense, that guy was talking about, quote, troll busters. Now, I don't know what that is. I have a view on what these people are doing. And my view is they're hunting for a particular prey to assault. Now, if I'm an animal and I get cornered, and I'll do whatever it takes to get me out of the corner. You know, and I'm sure that some other people feel the same way. You know, and
yeah,
that's
sure.
Self-preservation.
Definitely.
But you know, to call a hunting party that is preying on human beings that is not bothering them in any shape, form, or fashion, a troll buster or a hate crime, that's not adequate. That is not adequate. These people are hunting human beings to if not destroy them, to assault them and injure them. Now, that in this society cannot go on. And but the guy was also talking about homeless people attacking homeless people. I don't care who assaults who. If it's assault, and it's aggravated assault, you know, what is the weapon? If the weapon is a club or a rock or a stick, it's still aggravated assault. You know,
sure.
In my knowledge of the law, and I've been accused of that myself.
Well, you're very aggravating, but I've rarely seen you assaulting people.
Well, I have assaulted people.
Well,
you know, and
just don't hit
and
me.
And maybe again.
At the
you
moment.
You know, because I'm not going to allow anybody to think that I am a a target for their hunting party.
Well, I know that some people said, and I guess it was Patty Long who spoke in the front row, and I've heard it from people on the street, and I'm sure you have too, that people are arming themselves and getting ready to defend their camps. And I've heard it even said that people are becoming aggressively concerned. They're actually going to track down these guys and take them out, to use that phrase. And I'm sure some of this is boastfulness and so forth, and bravado, and fear. You know, if you hear this happening to your friends, people getting put in the hospital, people getting beaten up just for the hell of it, by groups of people who have some strange either perversion or weird ideology, or I don't know what they're, what I mean, and who knows how many different groups of people we're talking about. I guess my concern is, why aren't the authorities that are paid, they get $1 million a year in the Homeless Services Center budget.
More than that.
You know, but at least $1 million. You're right, it's more than that.
1.6 million.
Hmm. You know, certainly they can find the money in there to deal with an emergency crisis like this in terms of opening up shelter at night for vulnerable people. And if they can't, the city council can. And if the city council can't, let's put it this way, I know they can. It's if they won't, then we have to do something together. And that's what I was kind of looking around to see a group getting together to mass to start doing something ourselves. And I think that by embarrassing people, by sleeping in at the police station or at City Hall in a vigorous way, or an orderly way, an educational way, you'd put the city on notice that, yeah, it's time to do something. Not next month when Catherine Byers is going to have a hate crime resolution on the agenda, thank you very much. That's the last week or the next to the last week in June. But tomorrow, if not earlier.
Well, it's already been on the agenda a week ago tonight, Thursday night a week ago.
That's right.
I went to an information forum down there, and it was...
That was the Wednesday night forum at the Loudoun Nelson.
I thought it was Thursday night. I'm not sure.
No, I think it was Wednesday night.
It wasn't Wednesday night.
Then it was Thursday.
Wednesday night was the night
but whenever
came
it was,
off my fast. I think it was the next night or so.
Right.
Wednesday.
There was a forum, and you went there. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, I think the judicial system, the federal system, the county system, the legislative system was well represented there.
Yeah, they had the sheriff, they had the chief of police.
Yes, they did.
All of which ducked out the back when people got, their critics came in.
No, they didn't all duck out the back.
Really? I heard that the police chief Belcher...
The police chief was there for the duration.
He was?
Yes,
maybe
he was.
It's Mark Tracy I'm thinking of.
The sheriff had to leave. Now, I don't know what the reason was, and if he was pressed for something that he had to do, fine, because
possibly
he was there, and he did spend an hour or so there.
Now, was there a significant and exchange between those who felt that the police were not doing their job on this issue, or...?
I think there was some views expressed, about past incidences and stuff,
mm-hmm,
that were more blame storming than brainstorming.
I see. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if that's the case, then that's just my view.
Well, no, I'm interested.
But these agendas and these well, let's put it like this. You said you've sat through countless hours of fact finding things with the mayor and some of the councilmen.
Yep.
I was at one of those that you were at. It was at the Homeless Services Center.
Right.
Now, if I'd had to make a view off of that day there, it would have been a negative view. You know, if I had to cast a vote in the public interest on any issue, it would have been a negative view, because it was poorly handled. It was not like today, where a person told people to respect the place and respect the people that was there, and it was basically a bunch of mumble-jumble rhetoric, which couldn't, if I had to make a judgment call off of that, I would not have voted for anything favorable for the homeless, because it was basically psychobabble at the one I was at.
You're such a southern gentleman. What can
well,
I say,
it, it's not southern gentleman. It's calling things the way I saw them. I did not say a word at that thing. And I wouldn't have, because it would have done no good, mm-hmm. because the agenda was terrible, and the people in authority that was there to find facts and if they went away from there with a totally hands up in the air wondering what to do.
Well, you know,
it wouldn't have surprised me.
My main problem with that task force to examine the camping ordinance was I feel that they really diverted from the issue that most of the community wanted them to look at, which was the sleeping van sections of the camping ordinance.
And if they were diverted,
yeah.
And they probably were, it was by the people that I heard as witnesses.
Well, no, I mean, I think they were diverted long before they came in there.
Well, they might have been. A lot of people have preconceived ideas, but if they spend the time to go out and try to find out
mm-hmm.
valid information and come away with a bunch of actually...
You are so demanding of the homeless community, Lou.
I am not demanding. Most of the homeless community I know are very literate. You know,
very literate or
very literate?
Very literate.
Very literate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can show you some very well-read people at these places and know what conduct is.
Yeah, but remember, these are people who've seen these council members or at least some of them in action and have very little confidence in them at all.
Even, well, you know. Yeah, but there's others there that have mental issues.
That's true.
And are not they have no idea what the thing's on. They there to express their mental issues.
That's fine,
but it ain't going to do nothing for the agenda or the campus.
I share your sentiments, you know.
You were there.
I was.
And
I even recorded it.
I know. Could you understand it after you recorded it?
I didn't listen to it again, I'm afraid.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know.
But
if I'd have had to cast a ballot off of that one session,
as a fact-finding
mission, I would have had to deal with my preconceived ideas.
We're talking about human rights. Where can people sleep? Do they have other options? What's going on? And people may be inarticulate in expressing their desires, but the realities or their needs can be pretty clearly determined in the course of that period of time. And I think in fact we knew their needs before they walked in. I mean, at least in the abstract. And so I think,
today was a different thing, and it was some of the same people.
You're talking about, let me explain this today. For our audience. This was a meeting at the Homeless Services Center that Ken Cole, the new executive director, kind of arranged, got together after informing his board he was doing so, and he got them to okay it, about the issue of the beatings of homeless people. There were three police officers there for most of the time discussing such concerns as what do you do if you're assaulted and yet you have a warrant. You know, how can you go in and report an assault if you have a warrant? And we got different answers from different police officers, and I guess we should probably talk about that. But what I'm going to have to do here is cut this off pretty short because we have Councilmember Rotkin has just joined us, Lou Rice, Mike Rotkin. In case you guys haven't met, Lou is the man who fasted outside the post office for 27 days, or let's put it this way, part of that time was outside the post office, and. Mike Rotkin has been around for longer than you can imagine. Well, actually, you guys have both been around for a pretty long time. I don't know about around along Santa Cruz. Anyway, he's here and we're to debate or discuss or get into the sleeping ban. That is to say, I'm hoping we can actually get him to use those words, but he will say what he says. He's a man who speaks his own mind and quite rapidly at times. So what I'm going to invite you to do is I'm going to invite you to join me on this side, or you can stay on that side. You can take whatever side you want, actually. And I'm going to kind of surrender the mic to him for a while. Well, we begin sort of some preliminary jousting on this issue, and if you want to join in, you'll be welcome to do that too. What do you think of that, Lou?
I'll sit here, and if you want my view on anything or anything, I'll be glad to give it.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you hear if any of us?
I haven't met Ms. Rocky, Mike. I haven't met him. I met several of the council members and the mayor, and was not disappointed in talking with any one of them.
You are such a nice guy, Lou.
No, I'm telling you, they were nice people.
Well, that's, yeah. To get elected to public office, you really have to be a nice person
at
some level, I think.
Well, that there's more than that. There has to be a sincerity and a commitment to some good things, not all bad.
You are
Well,
I'm not even going to comment.
Well, I've held some elected positions, and I know that you take a lot of flack. If anybody don't believe that, get elected.
Just listen
to
the next hour if you don't believe that.
Get elected to something, and you'll find out. I assure you. But let me give this to the.
We'll give a little musical break
councilman.
Here, so you guys can shake hands
All right.
and meet each other.
Thank you. Enjoy it. Bye.
Band, yes, that was my old man. My old man wasn't really old, it was just that I was young. And anybody over 12 years old was halfway to the tomb. He was loyal to his workmates all his life, gave his pay packet to his wife, had a few jars on a Saturday night. Yes, that was my old man. My old man was a union man, fought hard all his days. He understood the system and was wise to the boss's ways. He said, if you want what's yours by right, you'll have to struggle with all your might. They'll rob you blind if you don't fight. Son, that was my old man. My old man was a proud old man at home on the foundry floor, until the day they paid him off and showed him to the door. They gave him his card, said things are slack, we've got a machine, can learn the knack of doing your job, so don't come back. The end of my old man. My old man, he was 51. What was he to do? A craftsman molder on the dole in 1932. He felt he'd given all he could give, so he did what thousands of others did. Abandoned hope and the will to live, they killed him, my old man. He is dead and gone. Now I am your old man. My advice to you, my son, is to fight back while you can. Watch out for the man with the silicon chip. Hold on to your job with a good firm grip, 'cause if you don't, you'll have had your chips the same as my old man.
This is still Free Radio Santa Cruz, overmodulating perhaps, but at 96.3 FM, and I'm going to try to get a fix on Mike over here. Mike, say something.
Hi, thanks for inviting me on the show, Robert. How's the level there? Looking pretty good?
What do you think? Give me what you think your voice level will be.
Well, unless I get excited, I might get this loud.
Oh, good.
Probably
get
about,
excited.
Probably about like this.
More exciting.
Something along this level, something right in this range about right here. Is that working, or should
That's
I get closer to the mic?
A little bit closer.
Okay, we can get a little closer here. How's that? Sounding better? Looking better on the
A little closer.
A little closer still.
You can actually bring it up if you want. Just
Maybe I'll just hold this.
Oh, there you go.
In my hands. Does that work?
That's good.
Okay, here we have another level. I'll talk about it like this.
That's great.
So now people can hear me. Thank you for inviting me on the show, Robert.
Hey, you're welcome, and thank you for coming. I know you rushed in from a city council meeting. We're talking to Councilmember Mike Rotkin here. Mike, you had an unusual Thursday closed session.
Yes, we had a meeting. The university, the timeline was running basically on a chance to file a suit if we were going to stop the university from possibly being able to avoid doing any environmental review on future projects on Terrace Point. And we threatened them with a lawsuit, and basically the university agreed, I think quite reasonably actually, that they would do a full environmental review on whatever project they're going to do at Terrace Point. And their agreement basically headed off the lawsuit. So it's I think it's better to have the review and do a decent environmental review of the project, and suing people doesn't necessarily always get you the best result. The threat seemed to have resulted in some positive action.
Was there a unanimous decision by the council, or was there mixed decisions, mixed thoughts on the issue?
No, there was a unanimous vote by the council.
And it only took about half an hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's rare. It doesn't happen that often.
Uh-huh. Well, united we stand.
Rare consensus.
Let me ask you, does this represent a... Is your position on this issue, I guess the issue is what, to get the university to... let's clarify the issue for those of us who don't understand what the issue is.
There's a piece of land called Terrace Point on the west side of Santa Cruz, which probably most people in Santa Cruz by now have heard of, although you never know, there's always someone that may not have got it. Mm-hmm. But this piece of land, which is the last undeveloped piece of coastal, large-scale piece of coastal property, and it was agricultural for many years, and Wells Fargo, because of the default on a loan, ended up owning this property, and they come to the city council with a quite extensive proposal for housing and marine-related kinds of projects, and many people felt what they were proposing was overdeveloping this piece of property and cause really environmental consequences, including traffic impacts in the neighborhood, as well as environmental impacts on the land itself and the wildlife that currently lives there and so forth. And while we were going through this process, and it looked pretty much like the city was on its way to some kind of denial of what they were interested in, the Planning Commission had recommended a severe cutback in the level of development being proposed, and I'm sure the city council would have followed suit.
So before,
in the middle of this, the university bought the...
Bought
the property out from underneath it, so now the university would be able to develop. And of course the issue here is that the university, because of Article 9 in the state constitution, is not subject to local planning control. Once they buy a piece of property for educationally related kinds of things, they have the ability to do their own planning. They become what's called the lead agency. They hire the environmental
So your only recourse is a lawsuit or persuasion.
Right, exactly, a lawsuit or persuasion.